All right, Marcellus Wiley will join us here in just a moment. Chris Mannix from SI on this really wild story in the NBA. Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets, sent a tweet out in support of Hong Kong, and the Chinese not happy with that, and now the Rockets owner is basically separating himself from Morey, and the NBA sending out multiple press releases, one in English and one in, I guess, Mandarin and Cantonese, and a crazy story.
It is crazy that a tweet can cause that. That's the world we live in now.
Well, but that's the bottom line, man. The Chinese government, they make sure, if you're doing business with them,
I was just gonna say,
you don't mess around.
And there's the NBA wants cash.
LeBron is there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this. LeBron has been very outspoken in the past, but I don't think he's under any obligation to say anything about this situation.
No.
He's not from Hong Kong. He's not from China. He didn't send the tweet. Exactly. Yeah. Just because he is who he is and he's been outspoken in the past, I don't think he's got to give an opinion on everything, and especially when he probably doesn't really know what's actually going on and the details and the history.
Yeah.
Here's Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer from FS1. I'm sure you guys talked about that on your show this afternoon. Do you feel like LeBron has to speak on this Morey tweet?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. There's no obligation there from LeBron and his camp. You know, you don't want to set up a situation where there are conflicting interests. We know the economic growth and the global expansion of the game certainly will benefit from its relationship with China. And Daryl Morey is just one person, not the full representative of the NBA experience or the NBA beliefs. So the last thing you want to do is bring more attention to this. And sometimes the apology actually creates the firestorm, per se. So I think this is one you just let the top-ranked officials from the NBA handle, and LeBron, stay clear of it, brother.
Marcellus, tonight, Browns, Niners. One of us on this panel may or may not be looking for some inside information. What are your thoughts going into this tilt? Because there's a guy struggling, losing money on this panel, and he needs to get it back tonight.
Wow, such a
no pressure, though.
Yeah, so much for just watching sports for the joy of it, huh? There's some incentive here. I'm just glad that this game is happening now. You imagine hearing this game last year and saying Browns 49ers? I mean, that is a toilet bowl to see. But things have changed around so drastically for these 49ers, who seem to be flying under the radar despite them having a great start to their season, in part because of the roller coaster of Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's certainly looked better of late. I think that the 49ers handle business. Their offense, in terms of moving the chains, is a special offense. I think they've had 2-3 and outs this entire year, which is amazing. If you talk about consistency. The Cleveland Browns, look, they respond well to adversity. They respond well to their chatter that they create themselves. But I think that they're going to be a little overmatched in this lineup. Odell Beckham still doesn't have great chemistry with Baker Mayfield in this offense. We haven't seen that consistently. So I just think that the 49ers are a little more balanced attack. I think that they prevail. Let's say 31-27.
Ooh, that's a cover for the Browns.
Wow.
Thank you, Marcellus. That's all I needed to hear was that last comment. So let's get into some other stuff that actually matters based on what took place yesterday in the NFL. Jay Gruden fired in Washington. We were debating whether or not the 5 a.m. summons was necessary. Is that just standard practice in the NFL or what?
What is that? The 5 a.m.? What was that summons? I'm not familiar with
it. Well, Gruden got fired at 5 a.m. this morning. Apparently.
Oh.
Like, is that just natural business in the NFL? They can't do it at, like, 9 a.m. or the night before?
Oh, man. Who knows what the hell they're up to? How about this one? Not only was it 5 a.m., for that knowledge, but they wait till after they lose to the Patriots. Duh. And then they say, you know what? Enough's enough. So that's kind of interesting as well. But we know the writing's been on the wall. And this organization, despite its ownership issues in terms of people not thinking that Daniel Snyder is the right person or certainly has the right football acumen to be the owner of this team, If they fix the quarterback position, I think they fix a lot of their issues. Got to go back to when RG3 basically died on the football field in the playoff game. They were a 10-win team that year. Alex Smith had them at 6-3 before he got injured and probably has ended his career as well. We even saw a spurt in there with Kirk Cousins, and they went 9-7, win the division. It's a weird thing. You don't fix the quarterback position, you don't have a chance. And I think because of injury or just not stability at that position, that's going to be the undermining reason this team and this organization doesn't have consistent success. But Gruden, I mean, the writing's on the wall. People were saying that they didn't know if his effort was at 100%. People didn't think that he was the right man for the job, despite being there with a Sean McVay and having some success then. We saw this one coming. We just didn't know exactly when, but obviously it landed, and it landed early this morning, 5 a.m.
With Marcellus Wiley, you mentioned the Patriots, and they're at 5-0, but not surprising when you consider who they play. They play Pittsburgh, Miami, the Jets, the Bills, and Washington, and they're at home against the Giants next week, and then at the Jets after that. So 7-0 is pretty much a lock at this point. Yet their defense, you look up their stats, NFL Research tweeted this out a little bit earlier. The 85 Bears allowed 12.4 points per game. The 2000 Ravens allowed 10.3 points per game. The 2019 Pats, through five games, are allowing 6.8 points per game. So how good is this team, considering the competition they've been playing?
Man, the schedule makers must have forgot they won the Super Bowl. They don't need any extra help.
No kidding.
What the hell is this? Yeah, the schedule is insane. Oh, it's collegiate. But that said, you know, the NFL has always been the experience where you had to pad your stats against lesser competition, and then you had to rise to the occasion against different competition. I'm not going to be the person that says that the Patriots can't rise to stiffer competition, but certainly they're separating themselves from the pack in terms of beating up other teams. I just see an attack that has an efficient, good Tom Brady. They need to pick up their running game, and the defense is playing tremendous. And every year they have a different makeup. They're the most pliable team, an organization that you've ever seen in terms of they take what you give them, and then they master that and expose your weaknesses. So what they're doing this year compared to last year they had their defensive struggles early. Last year, Tom Brady started off well and then faded actually in the playoffs. If you look at him in the three rounds of the playoffs, he got worse every single round of the playoffs. Only threw two touchdowns and three interceptions. So they're just the masters of letting their boat float and then selling when it matters most. And I think they're going to do that again this year. It doesn't matter how it looks when it comes to the Patriots and that machine that they put out and produce every year. So I think when we see tougher competition, you're going to see a better Patriots unit as a whole.
Well, I would say that the opposite applied with Dallas, who opened with the Giants, the Redskins, and Miami through 3 weeks. And in the past 2 weeks, they lost at New Orleans and lost at home badly against Green Bay. How much concern should there be down in Dallas right now?
Not that much. You got to think they're in a new offense, kind of more. They started off fast, as you said, the first three games, kind of caught up with them the last two games in terms of getting on track early. So the film cycle is out. Other teams are scouting. Now they see what this new offense looks like. The headlines are scary, but the reality is they need to get Ezekiel Elliott going. The last two games, he's had fewer than 100 yards combined. Two games, Ezekiel, not even topping 100 yards if you add them up. So that's really undermining their balancing act, and that's hurting Dak Prescott and putting a little too much pressure on him. Despite him playing well this year and having a 106 quarterback rating, he still needs his balancing act. He still needs to be a part of a dynamic duo. So this is the peanut butter and jelly sandwich without one ingredient. A peanut butter sandwich is not as good. A jelly sandwich is not as good. You need PB&J. So I think right now they need to return back to leading this offense off with a rushing, balanced attack and then let Dak go out there and play well like he has this year.
Ugly scene in Pittsburgh where Mason Rudolph, he was scrambling And Earl Thomas just closed on him and laid him out. I mean, it was a helmet-to-helmet. He got flagged. Rudolph was out before he even hit the ground. As a defensive player yourself, you know, how do you look at a play like that?
Yeah, it's a tough one, man, because I didn't see the malintent. I saw the result. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in, let's freeze frame it right when it occurs, the actual hit, and separate that from the result. The results are scary. The results make you think of your own mortality and the fact that it's difficult to play the game of football when you have to build in such violence that can occur on every play. But I didn't think that that was the most egregious hit in terms of intent. So you got to play ball. As they used to say in practice, when we used to see catastrophic injuries occur, move it up 10 yards. That's what coach would say. You sit there, look at your teammate, pray for him, wish him well, tell him he's going to be okay, and move it up 10 yards, man. That's just one of those things, unfortunately. Mason Rudolph will be fine, and the collective NFL just have to move it up 10 yards.
Great stuff, Marcellus. We'll do it again next Monday.
Yes, sir. Keep it going, guys. Win your money, hopefully.
Oh, I'm on it tonight. Don't worry about that. It's Marcellus Wiley. I love that. Niners, but close.